I want to take as my text this evening the words of Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and the verse number 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and the verse 10, the verse reads, "And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity." Tonight we come to consider the words of a man by the name of Solomon. He was the one who succeeded the great King David on the throne of Israel. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and the verse 1, we see that he described himself as the preacher. It says in that verse, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem." At one stage, early in his reign, the Lord had come to him and had said to Solomon, "Ask what I shall give thee." The Lord had given him, as it were, a blank check, and he was going to give him whatever he requested. I think if we were given such an offer by the Lord, I wonder what we would request. Would we ask for riches? Would we ask for power? Would we ask for others to think well of us? Would we ask for popularity? Would we ask for happiness? But Solomon did not ask for any such thing. Rather, he came to the Lord and he desired wisdom and understanding so that he would rule well in Israel. 1 Kings chapter 3 provides us with the account of how the Lord granted his request and gave him that wisdom, that discernment, that understanding. But the Lord also rewarded him greatly in giving him those things that he did not request. He received those things in addition to his great wisdom. He became a powerful king. He was a rich king, and he was a king who had much influence. He was the wisest of all mortal, ordinary men, and he was tremendously blessed by the Lord. He penned the Song of Solomon. He penned most of the book of Proverbs, and he also penned this book that we have read from tonight, the book of Ecclesiastes, and as one man has termed him, he was the royal preacher. This book of Ecclesiastes was one that was penned in Solomon's older age. It was penned when he had the time of looking back upon his, he had the benefit of being able to look back upon his life. He could look back and he could see the mistakes that he had made. He could look back upon the seriousness of the sins that he had committed. He could look back and see the consequences of those sins. And he could look back at all that he had experienced throughout his life, throughout his reign, and also in those years before he had succeeded the throne of his father. He could look back at it all at this point. He could look back at the time that he backslid. When he had backslidden at that stage of his life, and in looking back on all of those things, he had come to the view that all without God was vanity. Throughout his writings, there is much practical and there is much doctrinal instruction. You're taught much about the uncertainty of life, how life is brief, and as a vapor, it so quickly passes by. We sung about it tonight. We are also instructed about the need to walk in the paths of righteousness. And it is a book. His writings are books that are full of gospel teaching. And he deals much with the dangers and the consequences and the pitfalls of disobeying the Lord. Solomon had been there himself. He had experienced it. He could speak from his own personal experience. And throughout his writings, he gives those stern words of warning to others. He gives words of warning to you tonight. He's a man who says, as it were, "Don't make the same mistakes as me." And tonight, as we come to our text, I want to consider from this verse 10 the preacher's view of this ungodly man. We read in our text about a man who was wicked, a man who was ungodly, and we have really the picture of his funeral. And firstly, we see the occasion beheld. Because the first part of our text, it says, "And so I saw the wicked buried." And so I saw the wicked buried. Solomon is telling us that he had seen this occasion with his own eyes. He had seen it himself. It was not something that another had told him. Often we hear things from others. We are talking perhaps to a friend or to a colleague or a family member, and they'll tell us something about some occasion or some event that they have heard or they have seen themselves. But this was not the case with Solomon. Rather, it was an occasion he had witnessed and he had watched himself. You know, the preacher is one who witnesses and sees many different things in life. The preacher is one who sees or beholds the faithfulness of the saints. He sees those who genuinely follow the Lord. He sees those who seek to engage in the service of God. He sees those who wish to do that which is right in the sight of God. And he sees those who suffer adversity. He sees those who suffer trials. He sees those who suffer in many different ways but continually rely upon the Lord for help. He sees those who rely on the Lord for strength, those who rely on the Lord for guidance, those who, in the words of the psalmist David in Psalm 37, those who commit their ways unto the Lord. The preacher sees them. But he also sees the fervency of supplication, because he sees those who pray for the work of God in the prayer meeting, and how encouraging it is for a preacher to be in the prayer meeting with people who are fervent in prayer, people who pray for the blessing of God on the services, people who pray and do not just go through mere motions, but believe that the Lord can and will work in that service. It's a wonderful thing to behold. The preacher also sees the failing of the sick. He will often come into contact with those who are unwell, those who perhaps are very, very ill and will soon pass into glory. He will behold them. He will see them. Such experiences, such occasions, such a sight is one that is very difficult. And it is hard to see those whom you care about, those whom you love, suffering from illness and passing on from this world. But the preacher beholds it all. He also beholds the foolishness of sin. Preacher sees those who reject the gospel message. He sees those who refuse to obey the word. He sees those who want to live a life their own way, who seek to do their own thing and live that ungodly life. He sees the young people as they come up through the church. They grow up perhaps going to the children's meeting. They go to Sunday school, the youth fellowship. They come into those teenage years. And as they grow up, he sees them make the same mistakes as others who have gone before them. He sees how they get attracted by the things of the world. They begin to desire the pleasures of sin, and then they begin to embark upon that slippery slope. One thing leads to another. Perhaps the cigarette is tried, and it may lead to an addiction. Perhaps the alcohol is tried, perhaps due to pressure from around you, and very often it will lead to drunkenness. One thing will lead to another. As time goes on, the individual descends further and further and further into the depths of sin. Yet they do not think of the foolishness of sin. There are times when sin will be enjoyed. There are times when great pleasure will be taken in sin, and when people will think that they are living the life of Riley. But yet, the Scripture gives a great warning. While sin may seem pleasurable to you tonight, take heed of what the Scriptures have to say about sin. Because the Bible tells us that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It tells us that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. There is a great consequence to sin. There may be consequences, or there will be consequences in this life because of sin. Sin has destroyed many a friendship. It has destroyed and it has ruined and broken up many a family unit. It has ruined many lives by its effects, whether that be physically, financially, emotionally, or mentally. But yet the greatest consequence of sin is that punishment that must be paid. Tonight I have to tell you, as a preacher of the gospel of Christ, that if you die in that sinful state, the Bible warns you, the Bible instructs you, it tells you that you will face an eternity spent in hell where the fire is never quenched. You will face eternal punishment. In light of such truth, do you not see the foolishness of sin tonight? This ungodly man, this wicked man in verse 10, sadly he did not see the foolishness of his sin. But what about you? Do you see the foolishness of sin? Do you see the foolishness of your sin? Maybe tonight you're starting on that slippery slope. Maybe you're some young person. Maybe in your early teens or mid-teens. and you're starting to dabble in those things of the world. You know it is wrong. You know maybe that your parents would disapprove of it. But you want to do it. Maybe it seems fashionable. It seems the thing to do. Your friends in school or in university are saying, oh, come on with us to such and such a place. It'll all be a good time. And you feel that you want to go to be with them. You want to be popular and in with the crowd. Tonight I plead with you to turn from it. Many a preacher has seen the foolishness of sin and he has seen the consequences of it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and the verse 22, it tells us very, very clearly, abstain from all appearance of evil. Tonight I plead with you to take note of the foolishness of sin. It is often said that if you play with fire that you will get burnt. And the exact same can be said about sin, because if you play with it, if you trifle with it, there will be grave consequences. There will be consequences far beyond your imagination. It will always take you further than you want to go. But also there's another thing that the funeral or that the preacher beholds. There's another thing that the preacher sees, and that brings us really to what we see in our text, because he also sees the funeral of the sinner. Such an event is a solemn and a sobering occasion. And it is the very occasion that was beheld by Solomon on this day. It was beheld by Solomon when he penned these words because he observed an unrighteous, an evil, a wicked, an ungodly and an unrepentant sinner being buried. Perhaps it was an extravagant funeral with all the trappings and all, with no expense spared. Then on the other hand, maybe it was a quiet event with only a few family and only a few friends present. But one thing we can be sure of when we look at this funeral, when we think of what the preacher beheld in this day, what he seen, that occasion he witnessed, one thing we can be sure of is that it was of a man whose soul had departed and was now in a lost eternity. It was now in hell. Forever. Solomon beheld the funeral of a lost sinner. But you know, it also reminds us that every man will die. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9 in the verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Death is real. It is something that will come to every one of us, even those who hold great power, great authority, those who have obtained great riches, they will all die someday. All that man has, all that man possesses cannot stop that event that is scheduled in the calendar of God when he has that day when he is appointed to die. There is no escaping that fate. We look at Ecclesiastes 8 and we see verse 8. It says, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. Also Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The verse 2, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 2, Solomon writes, he says, a time to be born and a time to die. Every one of us has had a time when we were born, but there is a time when you will die. Let me ask, will you die a death? Will you have a funeral like this wicked man? Will it be the funeral of the wicked? Oh, there are many, they live with no thought of death. They have no thought of what follows after death. They have made no preparation for eternity. And like this man, when the day comes to them for them to die, it will be the death and the burial of a wicked man. It will be the death and the burial of an unconverted man or an unconverted woman. But what about you tonight? Have you made that preparation for eternity? Or do you turn a blind eye to such serious and solemn matters? Do you live for the here and now and not think of tomorrow? Maybe you say, preacher, I want to enjoy my life. And that may be so, but I have to tell you that if you do not turn to Christ for his salvation, your destination will be the same as this wicked man. Tonight, let me ask, are you willing to follow him to that lost eternity in hell? For the sake of some worldly enjoyment and pleasure? Ask yourself honestly the question. Consider it carefully in your heart. To Tonight I plead with you to get right with the Lord. We have here a very serious and a very solemn occasion. An occasion that we do not like to see, we do not like to hear of. The funeral of a wicked man, a man who has died in his sins. But tonight will you die and be buried the same way as this man? We come secondly to see in our text the opportunity spurned. The second section of our text, it says, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. He had come and gone from the place of the holy, and it shows us the place he attended. What was the place of the holy? Well, it was the place where God was present. It was the place where God's people gathered. It was the place where the righteous meet to worship God. It was the house of God. This wicked man, he was in attendance. He had come to the house of God and he had gone from the house of God. He had entered into the house of God and he had went out and exited the house of God. He had appeared to be religious. He had a form of religion. We could say he went through the motions. He was in the right place. Tonight you are in that place where God is worshipped. You are in the place of the holy. You are in the place where God is present. And it is a good thing to attend the house of God. And it is most grieving to see that many today, they no longer frequent the Lord's house. But you know, there is a privilege in attending the house of God. This man had mingled with the saints. He had mixed with the godly. He had mixed with the people of God themselves, those who were converted. He had heard the word of God proclaimed. He had heard the message of the word. And he was not ignorant of his need of salvation. And it was a great privilege to have this opportunity. But what did he do with it? What did he do with that opportunity that he was afforded? He spurned it. He spurned it. Example in Scripture, the man who experienced all of this was Judas Iscariot. He was a man who sat in the house of God. He sat in the synagogue. He heard the scriptures read. He heard the word of God. He heard the Savior himself teach the word of God. He was one of his disciples. What a privilege it must have been for this man to sit at the feet of Christ and to go about with him and to see the miracles that he performed, to hear the teaching that he gave. What a privilege. But yet, he rejected the Lord. He put his greed and he put his sinful desires before him and he died without repenting of his sin. What a tragedy. Judas, it's been said, he kissed the door of heaven and he went to hell. He had a great privilege, just like this wicked man. And tonight I have to say to you, you have a great privilege. You are mixing tonight with the people of God. You are mingling with those who are believers in Christ. You have heard the word of God read. You have heard or you have sung the hymns of praise expressing gospel truth. You've heard of the urgency of salvation. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf. And that great cry, be in time. You've heard how you can be saved. It is a great privilege that you have received. And maybe I can go a little further and say that maybe you have been brought up in this church. Maybe you have attended the Christian school. Maybe you've been brought up by God-fearing parents who have loved you. They have cared for you. They have taught you the way of salvation. They've taught you the difference between right and wrong. And you've heard and you know that you could tell, maybe even tell someone else that salvation is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is. But tonight, you sit here in the pews. You're sitting in your seat. And yet, you're rejecting all that you have heard. You're refusing to believe it. You're spurning that privilege that you have received. And just like this wicked man who died in his sins, week by week in this house, you have been coming and you have been going from the place of the holy, rejecting the word that you have heard. Rejecting the message of the gospel, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ and his call to you to salvation. You're spurning the opportunity that he has provided for you. I put it to you tonight that when this wicked man in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, whenever he was in hell, I put it to you that he remembered those occasions when he sat in the place of the holy, when he heard the scriptures read. The scriptures show that one in hell will have their memory. We look over to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, we have that great account of the rich man and Lazarus and what teaching it gives us on the subject of hell. But in Luke chapter 16, in the verse 25, the Word of God, it tells us, Abraham, it says, "But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." Abraham was saying to the rich man, remember what your life experience was. Remember how in your life you had all these good things, but Lazarus, he had nothing. I put it to you tonight that the rich man here in hell, he had his memory. This wicked man in Ecclesiastes 8, he had his memory. I want to say how tormenting it must have been for this rich man, but also for this wicked man we are considering, to think of those times he had heard the Word of God, those times he had heard of how he could escape that eternal condemnation, and he ignored it. He ignored it. I want to apply it to you tonight and say that if you continue in your Christ rejection, if you continue to reject the message of the gospel, if you continue to refuse to repent of your sin and turn to Christ, how painful will your memory be? You will remember the times you heard of your sinful condition. You will remember the times you heard of your need of salvation, the times that you heard of the Savior who came down to this world for the purpose of dying on the cross, shedding His precious blood to save sinners like you, and how you were told to call upon Him, to repent of your sin, to believe on His name, to place your faith and trust in Him. Maybe you'll remember those times when you laughed at the message. Maybe you thought it was a pile of nonsense. Maybe you procrastinated and you thought, well, maybe someday once I've enjoyed my life and once I've enjoyed a life of sin, I'll get right with God. You'll remember it. Or maybe you'll just remember the day when you downright rejected the message of the gospel and you rejected God's offer of salvation. Maybe you convinced yourself that the Bible wasn't true because it wasn't what you wanted to believe. But I have to tell you tonight that when you lift up your eyes like that rich man, you will realize that it is all true. But the sad and the most solemn reality of it all is that when that day comes, it will be too late to do anything about it. This wicked man, he had his opportunity to turn to the Lord. He attended the house of God like you tonight. He attended the house of God whilst he was living, and there was that day of opportunity. But alas, it was too late. Same with this rich man in Luke 16. He knew the scriptures. He knew the word. Commentators believe he was a religious man. But yet, when it came to that day, when he found himself in hell and he lifted up his eyes, it was too late. There was no return. There was no going back. There was no second opportunities. There was no second chance. Tonight I plead with you not to be like this wicked man. Don't be the one who attended the house of God. Don't be the one who was acquainted or who heard the preaching of the gospel, who heard people pray, who perhaps maybe engaged in the singing of praise. Don't be the one who mingled with the godly, but left the house of God and went to hell. Don't be the one who left the house of God as an unrepentant sinner, not possessing Christ as their Savior. He is a warning to you tonight. When we think of the centuries of time that have passed by, we have to ask the question, how many does this description describe? There have been so many who have come into the house of God in many different places across this world, but yet they have left as this wicked man did. They have left, they have continued down that road that leads to a Christless eternity. But tell me tonight, will that be you? Will you be one of those who will walk out the doors of this church in a couple of minutes' time, and you will continue down your road that leads to a lost eternity in hell? Oh, tonight I plead that you would not do so, but that you would turn to Christ for salvation. We come thirdly and very quickly tonight to see then the overview provided. Because Solomon, he witnessed this funeral. He's seen this funeral of one who'd attended the house of God, one who was acquainted with the people of God, yet he died outside of Christ and he went to hell. But then he proceeded to give an overview, an epitaph, a closing summary. And that summary, it simply says there at the end of verse 10, "This is also vanity." That was how he summed up this man's life. The word vanity, it speaks of emptiness. It describes something that is of no value, something that is worthless. And Solomon, the preacher, he is saying that this man's life was worthless. This man's life was pointless. Why? Because he had lived and he had died as a wicked sinner before God. Tonight, let me tell you that a life of having many opportunities to receive Christ as your Savior and to believe in Him, a life of listening to the preaching of the Word as you sit in the house of God, a life of frequenting the house of God, sitting with those who have found Christ and know His salvation, without finding Him yourself, according to God's Word, is a life of no value. It is a life of vanity. All the riches of this world are of no value. It is worthless. Those riches are worthless in the grand scheme of things. And indeed, those who put their prosperity ahead of their salvation, they waste their lives. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 8 and the verse 39. Mark chapter 8 and the verse 36, rather. It says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" The life of one who is wicked, a life of vanity, is one that will be forgotten, as our text tells us. It says, "And they were forgotten in the city where they had so done." The life of the wicked will be forgotten. Tonight, we have considered a most solemn text. We have considered a text that is very serious. But now the question must be answered by you. Will you yourself go down that road that leads to a lost eternity? Will you follow the example of this wicked man? This wicked man who sat in the house of God, whose life was summarized by the word vanity? Or will you heed the warning that is given for us, the warning given to us by the preacher, by Solomon? Will you take your opportunity? Will you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save you? Will you turn to Him and will you confess your sin? Will you ask Him to cleanse you with His precious blood? Will you call upon Him? What will you do? If you call upon Him, He has said that He will save you. "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." But friend, you need to come to Christ in order to be saved. If you come to Christ, then your life will not be one of vanity, but rather it will be one of great value. We sung that hymn which really spoke to us about how our life is short. You know, you only have one short life on this earth. But there's only one thing that ultimately matters with that life, and it is what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation. Will you turn to Him? Will you turn to Him while in mercy He is calling? Or will you pass that call by? We're going to close our meeting by just bowing our heads and asking the Lord to bless the word that has been preached. Tonight, if you want to speak about matters relating to your soul, certainly do feel free to approach us or one of the elders, and we would certainly take great delight in pointing you to the one who can save you from your sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we have considered tonight a most solemn passage of Scripture, the funeral and the burial, the opportunity, the summary of the life of a wicked man. O God, we pray tonight that there would be not one leaves this building and would go to the same fate as this man. Father, we pray that thou wouldst bless the word that has gone forth. We pray that thou wouldst apply it to the hearts, especially of those who are unconverted. And Lord, if there is one and they are feeling the call of God to salvation, we pray that thou wouldst not let them leave this building without speaking to us and enabling us to point them to the Savior who is willing and ready to save. Father, we pray that thou wouldst take us to our various homes in safety. We pray that thou wouldst bless us in this incoming week. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.